Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Paranexus Universe. This is Doug Kelly. It is June 6, 2008, and I'm here with my co-host Grant. Hey, Grant.
Hey, Doug. How you doing this evening?
Always doing good when I'm talking to you, man.
Yeah. Can you believe it? It's like 64 years since D-Day. Today's the 64th anniversary.
Really?
Yep.
That's cool. Yeah, June 6th. Well, cool. We welcome all of our listeners, too. We've got a repeat performance with Stan Romanek tonight, and a lot of interesting things to talk about. Did I mention interesting?
Yeah, once or twice.
Yeah, okay. So we've got some interesting stuff to talk about tonight, and I'm going to encourage folks, if you want to call in and ask Stan questions or ask us questions, please do so. The numbers are on your screen. It's 347-945-7799, and we'll be happy to take your call. I'm going to just say up front that we don't have time for malicious calls, so if you've got legitimate questions, some objective observations, love to hear it. If not, then just don't call. But if you do, we'd love to hear from you. And you can also go in the chat room there and ask questions there as well. So some interesting stuff. I had an opportunity to go out to Denver over the last week and investigate at Stan's home, and it was an amazing, amazing opportunity. But before I go too much into that, let me just introduce Stan and give you the rundown. Now, Stan was on our program here last February, and we had a very, very interesting discussion. So let me tell you about Stan Romanek. He was born in Denver, Colorado, growing up in a military family. Stan was forced to move constantly. Despite their nomadic lifestyle, Stan never felt uprooted and has many fond memories of going to new places and meeting new people. Stan is the youngest of four children, and he never ran out of things to do. Growing up with dyslexia forced Stan to find new ways to learn and cope with his environment. Despite having a severe learning disability, Stan's IQ was higher than average. Stan has had many accomplishments, everything from graphic arts to fashion design. Stan even tried dabbling in culinary arts, but quickly learned that he hated cooking, and all of this before the age of 25. Eventually, Stan got bored with the visual and culinary arts and ended up in retail and corporate management, but even that was not stimulating enough. Soon, Stan found himself experimenting with music. He was fascinated to learn that there were Native American ancestors in his family history. Stan started playing the Native American flute within months, and he was playing professionally and went on tour. As with most things you do over and over again, even that got boring. Stan is very good with computers and now repairs computers as a small in-home business. Although Stan remembers having some minor experiences when he was a child, his true experiences didn't start until December 2000. That's alien. He began to have strange things happen that he could not understand, nor could he explain. He began witnessing many UFOs and has had numerous abduction experiences. Stan has recently finished writing a book called Messages about his experiences with his UFO and alien abductions over the past 7.5 years. A documentary film about Stan's life story is also in the works. Now obsessed with the UFO subject because of his experiences, Stan strives to enlighten the public about the existence of alien life. He's been married twice, has one child, three stepchildren, and a wonderful wife, Lisa. I can attest to that. Hey, Stan, welcome to the program.
Oh, you did that very well. I would have screwed up for sure reading that.
I read it once or twice, and I did screw up once or twice. Hey, I'm getting some messages that there's a bit of an echo. Just hang tough with us, and that should go away. But, Stan, it's good to have you back on the program again. It's been, about 4 months since you were on the program before, and we had a very interesting discussion. But we've got some new stuff to share with everybody this time around, because I had an opportunity to go out to Denver, Colorado, over the past week, just got back yesterday, and we were there three times. We did two overnight investigations, and we came up with some really cool stuff. I'm not even sure where to begin, but let me ask you this question though, Stan, to kind of get us started off. What were you hoping for in having us come in and investigate?
Well, I was hoping you guys could validate what I already knew to be true, and it turned out just exactly the way I hoped it would.
Yeah, that's good. Did it turn out you were happy with that?
Oh, yeah. I was really happy with that. I didn't expect there to be so much experiences happening while you guys were here. Usually it's one or two. It isn't, a plethora of stuff like we had when you guys were here. But, it's interesting. I guess that's what makes this case so unusual. They really wait till there's an audience for some reason before they start showing up. I can't explain it, but I tell people that all the time, and they go, yeah, whatever, and then they hang around, and sure enough.
Well, they didn't really disappoint when I was there. Let me just fill our listeners in to what occurred. I flew out to Denver from Florida here a week ago yesterday, and Yari Mikula, colleague, co-founder of Paranexus, picked me up from the airport, and we did a couple of things, and then we pretty much went directly over to Stan's house, and we weren't there very long. We were probably there about 45 minutes or so. We were kind of doing some things, and Yari had set up a digital recorder, set it on the dining room table, and we were talking, and he kind of got Stan set up on our Spirits and Shadows members forum, our members area, to let him read some posts that we were discussing some pictures that Stan had taken of a shadow person, which are posted on Paranexus, by the way, and have been for the last, 3 weeks. And so Stan was looking at the responses and some of the description or the analysis of the pictures, and Yari and I stepped outside for a few minutes, and gosh, it wasn't probably more than about 2 or 3 minutes, and we saw Stan coming out and mouthing, hey, it's happening. And so we go rushing in, and Stan, you want to describe what you heard?
Well, I heard a real faint kind of rumbling, kind of brief, just mumble almost. I've heard it before. I hear it in my office every once in a while when nobody's around. Sometimes I hear it when people are around, and I always think it's the TV or something. But this time I knew for sure it was something different. And it sounded like it was maybe coming from the upstairs bedroom or maybe one of the other rooms. But it was enough to catch my attention. So.
Well, and the TV was on low. I mean, when we got there, the TV down, in the family room was on low, and you could hear it, but nothing too big. But we were amazed. So we wondered, did Yari's digital recorder catch this? And sure enough, it did. And let me play for you what we caught. This is the raw footage, if you call it that, the raw audio of what we caught. Play it here, and let me know. I'll play it. I'm not going to maybe not play the whole thing because it's all pretty much the same thing, but here goes.
Thank you.
All right, that was the whole thing. And that's what you heard audibly, right, Stan?
I didn't hear it drawn out like that. I just heard, like, maybe the first part, like, and that's about it. And it sounded really, really far off to me and very, very faint. I mean, not enough that I could hear it, but it didn't sound even half as loud as what you guys picked up with the recorder. Not even half as loud.
Yeah, because it came over very strong on the recorder. So obviously when you hear that, if you have any experience at all, you realize that it slowed down speech. Was the volume okay on that?
Yeah, the volume's fine. I could hear fine.
Grant, how about you? Well, if listeners couldn't hear it, let me know in the chat room and I'll adjust the sound. You still there, Grant? Hopefully he is. I still should.
He left the building.
Grant has left the building.
I'm still here. I'm still here, fellas. Sorry.
Did that sound loud enough, Grant? Was volume okay?
Yeah, it sounded okay, Doug.
All right. Let me now play. What we did was we heard that, and obviously, you know, it slowed down speech. So I opened up the audio editing software here and experimented with it. And what I did was I increased the speed by about 340 or 50%. This is what we were left with after that. I'll play this. This is the adjusted clip now. Now, you're probably going to want to hear that one again if you let me know in the chat room whether that one was loud enough or not. But let me play it again because it's compelling and it's very interesting. And there's, of course, a zillion questions raised by this whole thing, which we'll get to in a minute. I'll play it one more time. Okay, now I don't know how well that's coming over, but this is what the words say, and they're pretty definitive. It starts out, "Why are they here?" And then you hear another voice that says, "For Starseed." Now you hear what could be a third voice. Haven't quite got that one nailed down. Well, actually, this is excuse me, let me go backtrack a bit. This is the same voice as you heard to begin with. Here it is.
Can they see or hear us?
They said, "Can they see or hear us?" Now here's the voice that we're not sure if it's a third voice or the same as the second one. It says, "Only if we let them." So I'll play it once more. Why are they here? For Starseed. Can they see or hear us? Only if we let them. And, you know, when we got that, I mean, we were blown away. We were blown away. You probably remember that, Stan.
Yeah, I do. You know, and it's the mechanical sound of the voice that always gives to me, you know, the pauses and the inflections. It's just really bizarre.
It certainly sounds mechanical, does it not?
Yeah, it does. Sounds mechanical, and you know, we've been over this, and we've been poring over it for a week now. And yes, it is mechanical, and yes, it does sound like that text-to-speech software. So we're aware of that. It's not like we haven't thought of that one. Here's the things that just are blowing us away with this one. You know, and when let me just tell you a little bit more about the investigation. We went in, Yari and I, and a couple of his team members, we went in as a Paranexus-sanctioned investigation. So we went in with the mindset of we want to perform a objective, rational, professional investigation, and that's why Stan and Lisa had us in, right, Stan?
Exactly.
And I didn't pay him to say that either. And so, we went in with this. Now, I'm flying to Denver, and I'm thinking, you know, this is such an incredible opportunity because I want to see firsthand what's going on here, and I want to assess the psychological aspects of this case because there's a lot of stuff happening. A lot of things did happen, have been happening, and my question is probably like many of our listeners is, all right, what's going on here? I mean, do they have a lot of family dysfunction? You know, are they a lot of toxic relationship stuff going on? Because, you know, in the paranormal world, a lot of that kind of thing can be responsible for PK activity, that is psychokinesis, and a lot of things. So I'm going in with the mindset, I'm going to assess this. I'm going to get a feel for what's going on. Well, fortunately, just so I can let everybody know, I didn't find any of that stuff. I didn't find the toxic relationship. I didn't find the family dysfunction. Just, you know, and I'm gifted at that. I that's part of my secular work. So I didn't see that. And so we get there. Yari and I were there at this point when we got this recording, and we're blown away by it. Here's why. The obvious questions are, was this a hoax? You know, because when Yari and I stepped outside, left Stan alone at the dining room table, the sliding glass door going out to the backyard is right by the dining room table, and the screen was pulled, if I remember correctly. The glass door wasn't closed, but the screen was, if I remember correctly. And yeah. And so we were out there having a smoke, and Stan comes out. Now, he was left alone for probably no more than 3 minutes. So the obvious questions from a lot of listeners are, you know, could Stan have hoaxed this? And so we looked at that. We talked very objectively about that. And there were reasons why we didn't believe he did, but I did ask Stan that question directly, didn't I, Stan?
Yeah. Yeah, you did, actually.
I asked him directly, did you hoax this? And I was very curious to see his response. And his response was, no, I didn't. And he looked me in the eye. And, you know, getting a feel for Stan and meeting him, I didn't feel like he was trying to be dishonest with me. And I think he appreciated the direct question. At least that's what you told me, right?
Yes. Actually, you know, when investigators come here, they're so, you know, they want something to happen. They already believe, so they don't do an objective investigation. And that just proved to me that you guys were, you know, really trying very hard to do a very good, very objective investigation. And to me, that says tons, because that's what we're looking for. We don't want somebody that already believes to come here and see this stuff, because, I mean, it's kind of a moot point. We want the hard scientist to come here and say, this is really going on. What can we do about it? And that's what you guys did, and I really appreciated it.
Well, it was a great opportunity. We appreciated getting to know you. Okay, so we're looking at this piece of evidence, which we are now calling an anomalous voice phenomena, or an AVP, because it's not electronic. Stan heard it audibly. It's not like an EVP. That's probably one of the things that a lot of investigators are confusing this with. This is not a traditional EVP that you will get from a haunting. It is different. It is extremely clear, and it's just different. So we're calling it an AVP, an anomalous voice phenomena, which we'll cover recorded ones as well. Okay, so we're looking at this thing, and we're saying, okay, could Stan have hoaxed this? Now, if he did, if you listen to the recording again, I'll play it here in just a second. And for, I guess Grant already answered the yes, it does say Starseed. I'll play it again, but if you listen very carefully, the voices overlap. So I'm going to play it once more. Okay, you'll hear the voices overlap on at least one occasion there. In order for that to happen, it has to be a production. In other words, you know, you can't just produce that on a text-to-speech program and get the overlapping. You actually have to have tracks that overlap, and that means a production. So in order for Stan to have hoaxed this, he would have had to have produced it knowing ahead of time that we were coming, which he didn't really know until almost the last minute. So, you know, did Stan hoax this? No. I'm sorry, the evidence just doesn't suggest that. Okay, could somebody else have hoaxed this? Well, that's a possibility. You know, Stan, you've had some government individuals watching you over the years, haven't you?
Yeah, well, I've been followed. We found wiretaps or phones been tapped. Yes, we have had that actually quite a bit. We just, well, you guys were here. That guy broke into our house and was standing in the middle of the living room, so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to that part. Anyway, so could the government have somehow hoaxed us just to throw us off? I suppose that it's possible. But the next question that's begged is, how do they do it? How do they? Yeah, well, the why could be just to throw us off or something. But could they have done it? Sure. How could they have done it? Could they have, you know, I know that they can read, you can listen to what's going on, a conversation inside of a building by using a laser to on the glass, you know, because the glass will vibrate just ever so slightly. Could they reverse modulate that and produce that so that it's, you know, you can hear it audibly even at a low level within the house? I suppose that's possible. I don't know. So at this point, we can neither confirm nor disprove the authenticity of this recording. It's compelling, at least on a number of levels. Any thoughts?
Well, you know, it's not, if it was just that alone, you know, it would be like, well, maybe. But to me, with all the other stuff that happened, you know, it just lends credibility to everything together as a whole. Just kind of was amazing in general.
Oh, yeah. That's just one piece of evidence that we got. It's the first thing that happened within about 45 minutes of us being there. And that
Stan, I got a question for you. Does Starseed have any significance to you?
Yeah, well, yes, it does.
Can you expound on what that might mean? Or perhaps enlighten us?
I should explain the EVP. That's not the first time we've gotten an EVP by this strange British-sounding woman's voice. Since my experiences first started, we seem to get strange phone calls warning us of things, and it's the same British voice. How she ends up on an EVP, I don't have a clue how, what kind of technology can do that.
But does it sound the same, Stan?
It's almost exactly the same. I had an EVP from a different group that came to investigate, and they caught it on their tape recorder, and it's the same woman that calls us. And what's interesting, when we get these calls, it's usually a warning or telling us not to do something or telling us to be careful, or if we don't listen, we always wished we did. And like, for instance, the caller ID that I get is my own number. It's like I'm calling myself. How do they do that?
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, really.
So paint me a timeline here, Stan. How long have you been receiving calls from this lady?
Probably since 2002, 2003, off and on. And she's called pretty much everybody in the group. And we did find the program that has this sounding voice. It's a text-to-speech program. But what's interesting, I think they might be utilizing it to their advantage, or who knows what they're doing. Pretty much everybody in the group, all the scientists, have talked to this woman or entity or thing or whatever it is personally. And I don't know anybody that can type that fast.
Yeah. What kind of responses is she giving you? Can you?
Well, you know.
Are you at liberty to let us know?
Sure, it's no big deal. I moved to Colorado Springs, Colorado, from Nebraska, and it's beautiful there. You know, you're right nestled kind of right in the mountains just a little bit, and there's Pikes Peak right there. It's a beautiful area, but unfortunately, there's five top, you know, secret military bases out there. There's five military bases out there, and NORAD's right there. And when we moved there, the first call we got, the documentary filmmaker that's going to do the documentary about me, got a call from her saying, you know, you moved in with the Lions, you need to get them out of Colorado Springs. And then shortly after that, we got a call saying the same thing. And then after that, it just slowly progressed to more stuff. And there have been instances where my wife and I have gotten into an argument, and suddenly we'll get a call in the middle of the argument telling us from the same British voice to stop arguing.
Wow.
So it's bizarre.
Yeah, it is.
So let's just digress for a second. So what do you see as the significance of Starseed?
I don't. It's a label. A lot of people try to tell me what it is. To me, it's kind of a silly thing.
But you've been.
What do you think it is?
Yeah, well, supposedly the meaning is a starseed is somebody who's been sent to Earth to enlighten the human race. And maybe that's, you know, that's what I want to do. I don't know if that label particularly fits me. I think it's kind of a silly thing. I'm not going to go around calling myself starseed. It's hokey.
It could be
Sure.
Or starseed.
Yeah.
Or starseed.
Yeah. King starseed or emperor starseed, something along those lines. But no, I was just kind of curious to see if that had any symbolic meaning.
Well, it you know, they started calling me that, and then I pretty much laughed at the whole thing, and then my wife got a call from this, we call her Audrey because that's the name of the program that's used for this text-to-speech program. And she called my wife and said they won't try not to call me that anymore because they know that I have a problem with it.
Really? Now, do you know of any military applications for that type of computer program?
I honestly don't. I mean, I was raised in the military, and I just don't see the point of them even trying to, I mean, especially with what they've said, and over the past, who or whatever this is seems to be able to tell the future, which is odd in and of itself. And they've warned the movie producer, the documentary filmmaker was hiring somebody to help analyze some of the footage, and they warned him not to do it because this guy was a crook. And sure enough, it ended up that way.
Well, how did that message come out? Was that, did you get a call like a couple weeks before?
Well, no, the movie producer, the documentary filmmaker actually got a call and talked to this voice personally, and they said, it's always this kind of monotone, low, real slow, mechanical voice, very polite. It says, you have something like, you have chose somebody that will not be honest or some weird thing.
Wow, that's really interesting.
And have you or anyone else actually carried on a conversation with this Audrey person? I mean, where you ask specific questions and they responded with specific answers, relevant answers?
Exactly. I've even recorded it, and we tried to, you know, usually I'm so excited that this person's calling that I kind of fumble a little bit, but we try to trick this person because if they were typing, then they'd screw up. But, I mean, she's a smart-ass, too, or a smart-aleck, excuse me, a swan.
That's okay.
We won't hold it against you, Stan.
A smart-aleck, and, you know, I told her we were arguing about living in Colorado, about us living in Colorado Springs, and I said, you know, I don't care. I'm going to stay here, and I'm not stubborn, because she kept calling me stubborn. And then she said, so why are you still in Colorado Springs if you're not stubborn?
Touche.
So, yeah, it's crazy. Whatever's going on, I can't explain it. It's been going on for years. And whenever she calls, she'll use your own number, or they'll use your own phone number that you'll see it on the caller ID. And usually it comes over no number on your caller ID. And if you try to see if there's any, you know, history of it in your phone bill, it's like it never happened. It's really bizarre.
It is. All right, So this is a week ago yesterday, Thursday, the 29th of May, that Yari and I are at Stan's home in the afternoon. We get that AVP, that anomalous voice phenomena that I played a little bit earlier. And we were there through the rest of the evening, did some check-in, did some things, didn't really get a whole lot at all Thursday night. And so we returned for the primary investigation this past Saturday. And so, again, we got there, I believe it was about 2:40 in the afternoon. We got there, we were getting some things set up. We had the digital recorders going. And this is when things really started to pick up a little bit. Saturday was probably the most eventful day I've ever had as a paranormal investigator. And I'll just give you start talking about it. We're there. I'm at the dining room table. I'm talking with our colleague Dusty Smith from Daytona Beach Paranormal Research Group on Skype. I'm at my computer. We've got video going. She sees me. I see her. And so we're talking away, and everybody had kind of gone out to the backyard through the sliding glass door, which is just directly ahead of me. And they were taking a break. I was at the computer at the dining room table. Directly to my right is the kitchen. And about 10 feet or so away from me was the kitchen sink and the faucet and all that. There was nobody in there. And Stan's son Jake was down in the basement in his room. And so I'm talking away with Dusty, and we're discussing some of the different things about this. And Jake comes walking upstairs, and he walks right past me. He goes outside the sliding glass door. I can see him right ahead of me. He steps out, closes the door, then he opens it again and steps back in. And at that same time, I realized there's this noise going on. And I looked at him and said, "What's that?" And it dawned on me that to my right, the cold water faucet had turned on by itself right while I was there. And I'm thinking, holy crap. Of course, that's not what I said, but that's what I was thinking. Well, okay, that really wasn't what I was thinking either, but that's what I'm going to tell you. Okay, so here it is, that the water faucet turned on by itself. There was nobody there. Jake, he had heard it when he'd stepped out, and he stepped back in and gave me this look, and I says, "What's that?" And he looks over there, and he had apparently seen the knob turn. And so he went out and got everybody. Everybody came in. I actually have video of that, not of the actual faucet turning, but I have the video camera set up pointing in the direction of me. You can see me sitting at the table. You can't really see the kitchen sink because it was there's cabinets there, but you can see the whole thing. I'm going to put that on in Paranexus, in the members area for Paranexus, so you can view that. And it was just an amazing thing. I've never had something like that happen to me. You know, it was just unbelievable. Couldn't believe it. And the water faucets come on more than once. I know at least one other time, right, Stan?
Well, the water faucets come on all the time. Things go flying across the rooms, you know, the shadow people, all that other stuff. And what's interesting, you start talking about the kitchen water faucet going off all the time. It's only the kitchen water faucet. All of a sudden, the bathroom faucet will come on upstairs, or the bathtub will come on. The faucet in the bathtub will come on. It's like they know we're talking about them, and to make things more interesting, they'll turn the downstairs faucet on, or flush the toilet, or turn the TV on and off.
Well, so that was an amazing thing, and I went and checked it, and I turned the water faucet off. It was turned on one quarter of a turn. Now, it's not a lever type, for those of you who are wondering. The faucet's not the kind that you pull up. They're actually hot and water individual faucets, and you turn them just like you would any. And I checked that. I thought, okay, could this be really loose somehow, and pressure made it turn on or something like that? No, it was pretty good. It was pretty tight, and it blew me away. But that's not the only thing that happened Saturday. Yeah. So okay. So that all passes, and as we're dealing with the water faucet, and we're kind of talking about, and everybody's in there, the TV in the family room, which was just below, it's a half level down right by the dining room table, and it's got spindles and a banister you can see right down there. The TV was off, and right there, then the TV came on, turned on by itself. Not only the TV, but also the cable box, they both came on together, and right while we were there. And that happened, I think at that time, we turned it off, and it happened again at least once. I know through the day and evening it happened four different times. I was present for three of those times when the TV and the cable box turned themselves on. Now, people listening might be wondering, well, gee, where were the remote controls? And Stan, you remember?
Yep.
Right after it came the first time, what was I doing?
Well, we got all the remote controls. You made us get all the remote controls. So we went and gathered all the remote controls in the house and lined them up on the table? I think it was
the kitchen's, right,
kitchen table. Yeah.
Kitchen counter there.
Yeah, that's right, kitchen counter.
Which reminds me, the previous night we had one show up that automatically, but I won't digress yet. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to find all of the remote controls. Now, this was Comcast, so they had Comcast remote controls, and they have about five of them, but you only use about three of them, right?
Yeah, we had a bunch, you know, one of my stepdaughters moved out, so, yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, so we found the ones that were in the living room, the family room, And then your son had one down in his room, and your stepdaughter, stepson had, your stepdaughter had one upstairs in her room.
Exactly.
We got all those. We accounted for all of them. Nobody in the house could have done that. Now, could somebody have come from the outside and done that? Possibly, but there were people all over that, all over the area, and they would have had to climb a fence and you know, a wood fence. Well, how tall is that? 5 or 6 feet?
6 feet, yeah. Well, then you'd have to shine it in the window because they're those little infrared eye things
right.
that shed the light.
Right. So we can't explain those. And that's not the only thing that happened Saturday. Yeah. All right, so this stuff kind of dies down a little bit. I'm talking to Dusty. I'm still talking to her. She's still on the computer, and we're talking about things. And it was time for me to take a break because the videotape on the camcorder had run out, so I wanted to check that and change it. So I grabbed the video camcorder, and I told Dusty I was going to go out and take a break. So she's still on the computer. She still has visual. She's seen everything. And I went outside, and Stan, you came out, I don't know, a minute or two later after me.
Yep.
And I'm sitting there looking at the tape, and the battery's going dead, so I'm thinking, crap, I'm going to have to go plug it in and all that. So I was out there, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes tops.
Yep.
And I walked back in, opened the sliding door, and I noticed that my laptop lid had been closed almost all the way, about 2 inches open. I'm thinking, well, I wonder who did that. Dusty's on Skype, you know. And I hear Dusty saying, Doug, Yari, anybody there? And so I say, hey, Dusty. And she says, somebody just closed the laptop cover. And I says, really? And I opened it back up. And she said, I was sitting right here. And she was basically doing some EVP work, so to speak, or she was trying to talk to these entities. And my laptop lid closed by itself. So I'm immediately thinking, well, Stan was the last one out. And I went right back outside, and I asked Stan, did you close the laptop lid? You remember that, Stan, right?
Yeah, I sure do.
And he said, no, I didn't. And he said, I walked by, and you came out, and you said, Dusty's out in there talking to herself because he didn't know what she was doing.
Right.
And so I asked Dusty, I said, Dusty, how long was it after I had gone that the laptop lid closed? She said it was about 7 minutes or 8 minutes. And so Stan had come out about a minute or two after me. So there was nobody in the house. I think everybody was outside. Nobody in the house, and the laptop lid closed all by itself. Kind of an amazing thing. So that's one more thing. And then we get into the evening. And if you guys have questions, or Grant, if anything's coming to you that might be good for the listeners, don't hesitate to ask.
Will do.
So in the evening, the TV did come on again by itself, and we're all outside. Now it's a clear night. There's a couple of very high clouds out, not much at all, starry night, beautiful night. And most of us are outside looking up at the stars and talking about things, talking about events from the day. And with us was Kristen Hyatt, part of In the Shadows Paranormal Group, Yari's group, and also Rick Nelson, a member of his group, who's also a ufologist and has a group of his own and different things that they're very into that. And so we're all looking up, and Rick comments on a satellite going by. He says, look at that satellite going by. And we're just looking up, and pretty quick, Rick says, look, 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 look. And we all instantly looked where he was pointing. And I'll be darned if there wasn't a formation of at least 6 or probably 7 UFOs streaking by in a staggered V formation. Blew my mind. It was at 10:15 p.m. on Saturday night. They went streaking by. They were, Stan, you can tell me your impression of it, but in my mind, they were staggered V. I believe there were 7. They were streaking by. The altitude, very difficult to discern. In my impression, I'm thinking that they weren't. They were probably somewhere 10 to 20,000 feet. That's just my guesstimation. I'm not an expert in that. And I guesstimate that they were streaking by at least 5,000 miles an hour compared to a commercial jetliner, which we see all the time crossing the sky. and the color was kind of a pale electric blue, but it was graceful, it was swift, and it was surreal.
That's what got me, too, is how graceful it was. I mean, you could tell, and there was no sound whatsoever. It was dead silent. There weren't even any, you know, crickets chirping, nothing. And whatever it was, we all saw it, whatever it was, you know, flew right over us. And, I get a little confused when it comes to distance, especially at night, but it was definitely below the clouds. It wasn't above the clouds. It might have been right below the clouds, so... Man, it was amazing, but that isn't the only thing that we saw either, was it?
No. Well, you guys saw some other stuff, and I had gone in because I was excited as hell. We were doing a Spirits and Shadow live broadcast to our team members on Ustream. So, you know, we had the cameras going on the inside, so I went in to tell them what had just happened. And, no, we didn't get... catch the UFOs on film because nobody was filming, and I think you already tried once, but the settings weren't picking up anything. But just to make clear that the clouds, there weren't many of them. There were only some very, very wispy. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, wispy. You know, there's some just not a lot of them, just clouds here and there.
Yeah, nothing. And when I saw those UFOs, I saw stars beyond them. So I didn't, it was just amazing. First time I've ever seen a UFO, or UFOs in this case. Now, I'd gone in, and you guys were still out there, and you guys saw some other things too, right?
Well, me and Yari and Rick and, you know, the other person that was with Rick, and with Yari, we're just sitting there talking, and all of a sudden we watch Yari points off to the southwest, and you see what looks like kind of like a plane, but it's darting from cloud to cloud, and all of a sudden it'll flash here. It'll stop flashing, go over by this other cloud and flash, then go over by this other cloud and flash. And it was kind of doing a zigzag formation and doing it very fast. All of a sudden it came right over us, and then you could even look at it. It was so bright. It just exploded a light like it took a picture of us. And then it just kind of went away, and it actually happened a couple times. And we're just sitting there with our mouths dropped on the ground going, what in the world was that? And most of the night, the person that came with Yari, the woman that came with Yari, kept saying, is that spotlight? And then I thought, well, yeah, maybe it's a spotlight. Then all of a sudden we saw these flashes. Yeah, Kristen. We saw these flashes off in the distance. Well, it could be lightning, because we're looking right at the flashes and there's no clouds there. It was just quite an amazing night.
It was, and then there was that one, is that the one you were talking about, that Yari was talking about when he saw the one flash and burst? Yeah,
exactly. It's like it took a giant picture of us or something. Very crazy.
Yeah, it was, and I saw the flashes. Now, being an objective investigator, I don't believe there was any thunderstorms or lightning that night, correct?
I don't know. I'll have to look it up. Not in the direction that we were looking at, and these were definitely not lightnings. You could see the object darting around.
Well, but we were seeing some flashes, and it was reminiscent of that heat lightning or that flash lightning that you get. It doesn't make any sound, and it wasn't as bright.
No, it was off in the distance.
So, you know, an objective observer, I personally can't 100% say that it wasn't some similar phenomenon. I've never seen that kind of a thing on a virtually clear night, I'll tell you that. So the probability of it being that is unlikely. You know, it's not probable, but that was amazing. And then we proceeded to continue to investigate that evening, and we had some other things happen that we're just not at liberty to disclose right now.
Yeah, they're all hard to explain.
Yeah, and hopefully we will be, but we've got some confidentiality issues that we've got to work out first if we can do that. I will tell you, though, that we did get some indications that the faucet turning on and the television turning on were basically games being played because it was amusing to them. And maybe that's what they've been doing with some of that other faucet turning on. And I don't know who they are. I don't know that they're ETs or if they're spirits, poltergeist type, you know, RSPK stuff could be. You know, I'm looking at this whole thing. You know, is some of the stuff, this poltergeist type activity, is it inadvertently being caused by somebody in the home, you know, which is typical for poltergeist or RSPK? You know, at this point, I can't draw that conclusion. Obviously, there were some PK events happening, psychokinesis, but that could be generated by a human agent. It could be generated by a spirit. It could be generated, presumably, by an extraterrestrial. Interesting stuff. All right. Probably left you all speechless, huh?
Well, one of the things that is interesting about the PK, you know, that's one of the things, this has been going on for years. Wherever we go, we always think the house is haunted, but then we move to somewhere else, and it happens there, too. We've actually been forced to move 7 times because of the harassment. But we've tried. It happens no matter who's in the house. It happened with just, it started happening when the whole family was gone and just some of the girls' friends were here. It happened with just Lisa. It happened with just me. It happened with just the kids here. It doesn't seem to matter who or what's here. So it's almost to the point where I think, at least as far as I'm concerned, we can rule out a family member. The question is, what is it then?
Well, and I'm with you, and you know, that's what they're asking in the chat room, you know, are there any teenagers in the home? And that's typically where you get RSPK, recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis. That's where you get it usually, often, not always, but often it's a female, either just before, during, or after puberty, and that's where it can come from. And, you know, folks, for you listeners out there, I really looked at that hard, and I interacted with Stan's stepson and stepdaughter, very nice kids, you know, and stepdaughter's 19, sweetheart. And, you know, your stepson, a great, great kid, too. I just didn't see anything to indicate that the PK could be coming from that direction. Now, Stan, how do you feel? Do you feel like you're psychically sensitive?
Well, you know, after going through this, and I don't know if I'd call it that. You know, when it comes to other things, I'm probably as psychic as a peanut, but you kind of get an idea that something's around. I mean, when you've gone through it for as long as we have, even my stepson will come up and goes, "Oh, man, there's your right thing," because you can feel that hair on the back of your neck stand up, and the energy in the atmosphere changes, and it's hard to explain, you know, it really is.
Well, cool.
But
so,
am I psychic? I don't think I'm psychic.
But you've been told that you're a beacon of sorts, right?
Well, yeah. You know, what is psychic ability? I think everybody has some kind of talent or some natural ability. But, you know, I think it's just natural. What I call it psychic, I'm not sure I'd say I was anything different or anything special. You know, I'm gifted in a few things, but I can tell when they're around usually, and if anybody that's been in my situation has experienced this for quite a long time, you start to pick up on the changes in the environment, and I think that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff. Well, folks, if you've got some questions for Stan or for us on this investigation, please feel free to give us a call, 347-945-7799. The numbers are on your screen if you're listening. Also, join us in the chat room if you would like. You can ask questions there as well. What we're going to do is we're going to take a break here in a minute. We're going to bring Yari into the conversation. He was doing a pre-investigation for a potential haunting. So yeah, he's ready to, he's available now. So during the break, we'll bring him on, get some of his impressions on some of this amazing stuff that we experienced here last week at Stan Romanek's house. I want to take also a minute, if you're not a member of Paranexus, please take a look at paranexus.org. We've got charter memberships right now for $5 for 6 months. We've got a lot of information, and we're trying to build that within the members area that guests cannot see. And we're going to be posting some of this information in there as well. Now, we've got some pictures that Stan took of a remarkable shadow person. In fact, we've got about, I think, six of them. Isn't that right, Stan? About six or so of those. Some amazing shadow figures that a number of us have looked at, and we can't explain it one way or the other. They're compelling. I'm going to tell you that. But it's amazing pictures to look at. And so take a look at Paranexus.org. We also have our conference coming up this October. We'd love to have you in attendance. We've got a number of speakers lined up. We've got some more coming up that we just got to get on the website. So many things happening the last week. I just haven't had a chance to get our new latest speakers up, but we will. It's going to be in Tampa. It's going to be an amazing time of learning, a time of networking, and a time to enjoy and have some fun as well. We've got the Paranexus Challenge, where some teams are going to go out into a top-secret location, and it's purportedly haunted. You could even be a part of that. Sign up for that. We've also got the Spirits and Shadows Ball, costume ball, to have a little fun there. So take a look at Paranexus.org. We'd love to have you as a member. And if you'll hang with us, we're going to be back in a minute. And consider, if you've got questions, give us a call. We'll be taking calls in the next hour as well. So, with that said, hang tough. We'll be back in just a minute. Hey, listeners, apparently you guys can't hear any of the music during the break that we have here. I have no clue what happened to my music uploads. They are fine every week, and this is the first week that they've not been there. So if you can just hang tough with us for just a minute, you may not hear any music, but we'll be back. I got to get Yuri on the line, so apologize for that. Not sure what's going on, but bear with us. We'll be right back. Even if you hear silence, we'll be right back. Okay, folks, we are back. Have no clue as to what happened to our musical interludes. The files are all right here in front of me. I click on them, and every week when I click on them, they play. So I just don't have any clue what happened there. We could probably blame it on Stan, right, Stan?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're here. If you weren't here, I'd blame it on Grant. Man, but
Doug, I think maybe you dusted off the Ouija board again this week. I don't know.
You never know. I could have, but probably not.
Yeah.
All right, folks. This is Paranexus Universe. My name's Doug Kelly. You just heard Grant fussing about the Ouija board again. Grant.
Mm.
We are talking with our very special guest, Stan Romanek. Welcome back, Stan.
Hello.
Hello. That was
Hello.
Good.
Yeah. He's, I'm just waiting for something else to break down.
Yeah.
I always feel so guilty.
Hey, the sky gods are good to us tonight, huh, Grant?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we also have with us Yari Mikola, our colleague, partner in Paranexus. Hey, Yari.
How you doing, Doug?
And doing great. And with him is also Kristen Hyatt, our PR person for Paranexus and member of In the Shadows Paranormal Group. Hey, Kristen.
Hello, Doug.
Didn't know you were going to be on the radio tonight, huh?
No, I didn't.
Hey, cool. Bonus. But you know what? It's so cool because now we have virtually everybody that was at Stan's that night. We're just missing Rick. But Kristen was there, Yari was there, I was there, Stan was there, and of course Lisa, Stan's wife, and stepson, and Rick, and I don't know, maybe some aliens, who knows. So in the last hour, we've been talking about some of the events that we got during our investigation. Yari just and Kristen just did a pre-investigation for a case that they're going to look at investigating here, so they weren't able to be on with us the first hour. But Yari, you want to give some impressions on your impressions on some of the events from that AVP and the other things?
Yeah, the one thing that I was going to open, Kristen, I'm going to turn the radio down a little bit. One thing I was going over with Kristen before what we saw was just the event that happened prior to the ADP, where I had actually, you know, everybody stepped outside. We've only been there maybe 20, 30 minutes. And I had to, of course, use the restroom like I always do. And Stan was already working on our computer.
Mm-hmm.
He was reading some of our comments regarding the photographs that he sent us that our teams had made for Spirit Team and In the Shadows. And as I went down to the restroom on the lower floor, from the office that Stan has where he'd taken the photograph, I got the intense impression that I was being watched. So I just went into the office and took a look around. And as I kind of looked for, you know, bobbed my head back and forth to see if I could see what Stan had described as a silvery image or a translucent image, as if you were, you know, changing triangular billboards. I didn't see that, so started back for the restroom door and got the impression that it was now on the other side. So I went back in the family room and did the same thing, pretty much to the same corner, only in the family room. Saw nothing and went back in the restroom. What really I find profound is when I did go outside and we heard it, the fact that it made a comment as far as the AVP, I assume you played it.
Yeah.
That says, can they see or hear us? And I take that as one of our class ones that basically was interactive because they thought I had seen them or heard them by the way I was acting when I went in to examine what I felt in those two rooms. So that made it very compelling for me when we got this recording. I don't know if you've played it, but you may want to play that again.
Yeah, I will.
Because they sound of a concern for that.
Okay, maybe some of you didn't hear it in our first segment, first hour. And you know, while I'm playing this, if you could tweak your speakers down just a smidgen more, just
okay.
So you can hear us, but just a smidgen more because we're getting a little bit of an echo. All right, we'll find out here once we get you talking again. I'm going to play just a little bit of the original AVP, the anomalous voice phenomena that we recorded here. This is the original now. This is the way that it came over on Yari's tape recorder, or digital recorder. right, that's just a portion of it. It's 30 seconds long, and if you listen closely, I don't know if it's coming over on the air, but you can hear the TV faintly in the background. So the TV is at regular speed, and that's obviously not at regular speed. So once we adjusted it about 340 or 50% faster, this is what we got. Oops, that's not what we got. Somebody around here doesn't know what the hell they're doing, and I don't know who that is. It's not me. Wasn't me. Okay, here it goes. Okay, for those of you who did not hear it in the first hour, what they're saying is this. Why are they here? And then you'll hear a voice say, for Starseed. And now the next segment. Can they see or hear us? Only if we let them. Want to comment, Yuri?
Yeah, every time I hear that, it's like, you know, I look at the photograph that Stan originally sent us that actually sparked up the investigation there. And the fact that this shadow image in the photograph appears to be cloaked because it casts a shadow. And whenever I've seen an entity as far as an earthbound spirit, you don't see shadows cast. They are the shadow. So it kind of, you know, it does play to really be a very compelling case.
Yeah, it does.
And that was just the beginning.
Yeah. And, you know, I didn't talk about your experiences before we got this recording. And to me, that makes the recording even more meaningful. Could you just nutshell that again? You went down to the restroom, and you felt being watched.
Right. As far as the event recording, or the...
No, just you, because you had gone down to the restroom, and you felt like you were being watched, and you felt some things. Just nutshell it again, just because this is before the recording was taken.
Again, I have had, you know, throughout growing up, I've had, I want to say, an empathic gift. So I really feel emotion and the sensation of somebody or something in the room, and that's exactly what I got. I really have inquisitive spying, is what I would call it, maybe to investigate that, and then also when I came back to finally go to the restroom and have it again on the opposite side. So if you hear that recording, I mean, I about fell out of my chair when I finally determined what it was saying.
Yeah. Cool. So, go ahead.
I remember Doug kind of turned a little white there, and Yari's eyes got really big when they finally, when you guys first heard the slowed down version, but when we were able to make out what it was saying, man, that was priceless. I wish I had a camera on you guys when it was going off.
Oh, man.
Well, actually, our colleague Rick Nelson was on the phone with this man prior to our arrival. Actually, I picked you up at the airport. You came back and switched some clothes, and then we got us a car and went over to Stan straight away.
Right.
So it's not like, you know, Rick was already on the phone with Stan, you know, planning for the day, for that evening. It's when he was going to arrive, and they heard a similar sound together on the phone.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Recorded.
That same day?
Yeah, actually, before, I was talking to Rick about when he was going to come up, and Rick heard it over the phone while I was talking to him. He heard that weird humming thing. But it was different than this. It was actually a little bit louder, so Rick could hear it also when we were talking on the phone. And that happens periodically, that sound. Sometimes there's real high-pitched sounds that literally hurt your ears. One incident of that actually broke a glass my son was getting out of the cupboard. There are these low, weird whispers, like somebody's whispering in your ear. There's all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah, like that. Okay. So that was Thursday that we were there, and then Saturday I had already talked about the laptop lid closing by itself. You know, one thing I did mention in the previous hour was that I was talking with Dusty Smith first. We were talking on Skype afterward, but I first talked to her on my cell phone, and I was down in Stan's office trying to talk to her, and she said she heard a similar slowed down, you know, that sort of a thing on the telephone. So I don't know what to make of that, but she also heard that. But Yari, your interpretation about events on Saturday, your impressions.
On Saturday, I think you discussed the events in the first hour regarding the television coming on multiple times.
Yeah.
After the first, then we gathered all of the remote controls in the house. So we had them in our control for 6 weeks, on-off situation. And it was amazing the fact that nobody was present in the family room at the time the television came on.
Mm-hmm.
We needed to photograph, so we weren't able to get any anomalies like we did in initial photographs of Stan and Dennis. I apologize for the car traffic, but I'm in my car in a parking lot in some mall, so if you can hear that. But again, with the sounds. With the sound of the television. Now, you're working on the computer, and I'm so used to TV in the background. It just looks good. Did you know the TV just came out? I said, really?
Yeah.
It was like a surprise. The fact that, so where are the remote controls? He said, they're right here. So I'm like, okay. They're right there on the table in front of us. So that was quite a trick. And then we've mentioned when Kristen and I first came out to do the initial conversation with Lisa and Stan, we had stepped outside because it was a really nice day in Colorado. It had been pretty cold. We were going to chat out on the patio. And we had just stepped outside when we heard the water come on in the kitchen.
And that was previous to this. That was previous. That's when you and Kristen were there.
Well, again, what I'm saying is that happened on the initial investigation, and Sam was by the door. He opened the door to take a look and said, you guys could have come and see this, and the water was on. Lisa and Jake were gone to the store. There was nobody else in the house. So then to have that happen on Saturday again, when you said, I would love to see this, and they obliged you, and so that was a surprise for Saturday as well. Now, we can't... And I want to reiterate, this is very compelling because we were present when this happened. We cannot say exactly what did it.
Right. We can't account for what caused it specifically, but we do know that it happened.
Because there are a lot of theories regarding dimensional travel and that Earth spirits can use the same portals. So whatever did it, we don't know.
Yeah. Now, you also had an event that was it the same day when the water turned on, or was that a different day when your mouse was mysteriously moved?
Yeah, I remember that.
That was the day that we were there for the initial investigation, or for the Monday before the investigation. Oh, Sunday. I take it back. Yeah, it was Sunday before the investigation. And both... Stan and I had gone down in the family room and we're discussing, you know, the situation. I just done a little video about, you know, him explaining, and we'll put that on the Paranexus website, but it was him explaining what he was doing at the time he took the initial photographs, where he was standing, what he saw, and when we went back up, I sat down on my computer, and I went to go reach for my wireless mouse, and I couldn't find it anywhere on the table. We looked on the floor, we got into the cat and gotten it and bounced it around. We did hear something in the kitchen scrape, and we both said, what was that? And we both looked around and didn't see anything. So when the mouse was gone, I thought inadvertently the cat had gotten it. Well, the cats were nowhere to be seen. And I went to my computer bag to get the backup mouse that I carry. And there it was sitting on the chair right by the door, right in the chair. So how it got there, beyond me, and there was nobody to have been able to do that.
So nobody else was in the house, and it moved approximately, I don't know, 12 feet, 15 feet?
12, 15 feet away. Another event that we've had that day is Christine was standing by the stairwell, and there was an incense burner on the table by the window, and it got slung across the room and hit the wall in the corner by the house.
And Kristen was there for that?
Yeah, I was there.
Did you see that, Kristen?
I didn't see it because my back turned. I was facing toward the dining room table. But Stan heard it too, and it hit the wall and left, and it had moved from the table by the window in the living room to the opposite corner.
Yeah.
Like it was thrown.
Amazing. Stan, that stuff's kind of happened to you a lot, huh?
Yeah, it has. And there's a lot of people actually in the chat room saying they couldn't hear Yari very well. But things being thrown around, it used to be, it's weird because depending on what house we, the house we lived at before, it was the candles and the little candle stands went flying across the room. My stepdaughter got smacked in the back of the head by one of her flip-flops. A book went flying over my head the other day, oddly enough, a Harry Potter book, which I think is kind of interesting. And this happens all the time. And I always tell people, if you don't believe, just come hang out with us for a little bit. And pretty much everybody, and I mean everybody that's on the team, including the scientists, have experienced something. That's just the way it is. And honestly, after you guys left, it just stopped. It kind of went away.
And it's the fact that, when we pointed these things out in my excitement, you and Mitch just kind of shrugged your shoulders. Welcome to our world.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing new for you.
Yeah, that's my wife's favorite saying is welcome to our world. And like I said, if anybody had any questions, we always tell them come hang out for a little bit, and they always leave a believer.
Yeah, it's some stuff we couldn't account for. All right, so
one thing that I want to point out that when we're talking,
before you ask that, let me ask you a question. Have you changed something on your phone at all?
Yes, I've taken it off the speaker just now on the phone on myself.
You might want to go back to the way you were because I think that might have been better.
Okay. Hold on.
Okay.
It'll take a second to click in for the wireless.
No sweat. Well, let's give Yari a second. Apologize. Yeah, that sounds better, Yari. Let's try that. Okay. See if that works.
That works. But anyway, what I wanted to mention is the fact that while we were there, we were already well into an investigation when Stan made his appearance on the Larry King Show. And to hear other paranormal investigators call this a hoax that have never been on an investigation at Stan's house is the reason why we have started a group like Paranexus, is to have standards and procedures and processes. First of all, we would never call it a hoax unless we had evidence, and we're never going to call it an ET situation unless we have evidence. We may say it's compelling. We may say it's unexplainable. We could even say that it's paranormally significant, but we'll never say a hoax without any evidence because we've always believed that the truth is the truth. And we'll come out in the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say that. It's amazing how many people will call something off when it's not.
Well, and Stan, you're no stranger to the naysayers, right?
Well, especially, since this made headlines with the Denver ET initiative, and, they've used me as a poster child for that. I've been really, if you go to the website that the researchers put up for me, stanlomanek.com, we have a forum that you guys put up for me because the last one was hacked into. They took it out. So you guys, thank you, by the way, for doing that. It's awesome. But just even the people on that forum, some of them are just downright mean, and I don't understand it because most of the stuff they're talking about. A good example is supposedly somewhere on the internet, somebody's saying I'm an alcoholic and I beat the kids and we have a horrible life and blah, blah, blah. It's like, where did they get this stuff? It's amazing.
They're gathering their pitchforks and their straw torches.
Exactly.
And let me just point out that when I went, and I mentioned this in the first, I think I mentioned this in the first hour, I don't know if I did, I may have talked privately. When I went on this investigation, I had on my mind assessing the psychological factors, including is there any alcoholism or drug addiction going on here. And because I do work in the field, you know, I got a pretty healthy spidey sense when it comes to that stuff. And I will tell you that, you know, I really didn't pick up anything like that. I saw no evidence for it the 3 times that we were there. And we were there 2 nights. We stayed overnight 2 nights. So I just want to set that one clear.
You know, I have to admit something too. The amount of activity that we saw in this home over 3 days and 2 nights, Doug, are more than I have seen in any one location ever in the many years I've been doing paranormal investigation.
Me as well. Amazing. You just don't get this stuff happening. So, you know, that to me, I'm thinking, this is not like any of the haunting investigations I've ever done. I mean, we don't get that kind of activity, that concentrated activity in you know, one day like we did on Saturday especially.
And, you know, the one thing that I have to say that happened on Saturday that was kind of like the frosting on the cake for us is that we've been through a whole day of activity. We've been go, go, go from sunrise to sunset, and we're all going outside to relax on the patio. And then we see these lights in a V formation flying directly overhead of us, flying faster than any aircraft can fly, and so graceful and beautiful, it was amazing to see. And it's like, that was not aircraft flying in that type of formation. And all of us saw it. That was amazing. But that wasn't the only one that we saw. We saw multiple sightings that we could not explain as aircraft. And I don't know whether you covered that, but that was the eighth of response of the day.
Oh, yeah. It was. So let's shift direction here. If anybody, just want to remind you, we got about 39 minutes left. If anybody wants to call in to ask Stan a question or any of us, the number is 347-945-7799. And we'll take calls. You can also ask in the chat room if you've got questions. Let's talk a little bit about what you've been, the activity that you've seen, not from any ETs or spirits or anything, Stan, but from the media. It's been going on the last week.
Well, I've been on quite a few shows. Last I heard, David Letterman wanted me on the David Letterman show, but I was told by the people helping me decide which direction to go not to do it, because he's just about bashing, and I've been bashed enough, to be honest. There's a lot of people, I got to tell you, there's a lot of people like Whitley Strieber and you know, just a lot of people in general, and you guys that have really, really supported me. And you guys know the truth. You've been around and seen it for yourself. It's amazing how mean some of these people can get, and it has to be out of fear. And that includes the reporters. I mean, they make a joke about it. But, you know, this is the real deal. You know, the stuff that you guys encountered when you were here, we encounter all the time. It doesn't go away. No matter where we go, it's there. It's a part of our reality. We don't know what it is. We don't know why it is. I mean, there's some weird little connections to it all here and there, to other things that have happened. But still, it's just a big mystery. And, you know, that's what's sad about these reporters and these people on these forums. And, you know, they don't know exactly what we've been through. They don't know what it's like to have to go through this. You got just a small taste of what it is. And it's gotten so, sometimes it's just so much that we kind of get blasé about it. You know, a good example, there was a situation where I thought a 747 was tumbling out of the sky and was going to crash into our house. And this was just, you know, a few months ago. And I'm totally freaking out, thinking, oh my goodness, I have to go save Lisa and the kids, and how do I get there? Will I get there in time before the plane crashes? Well, the plane actually, it wasn't a plane at all. It actually stopped, you know, at least about 5,000 feet above the house and slowly started flying north. It gave me enough time to run outside and get the camera. And if you go on the website and go under What's New, you can actually see these photographs I took of this thing. And, you know, I go running back. I said, Lisa, there's a UFO. And she's like, I don't care. I mean, that's, you know, how you get so used to it that it's like, as long as they don't bother me, they can just do whatever.
Amazing. It's been, it's, you know, that's one of the things I think that a lot of people don't quite understand. When you're going...
Hey,
yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. I had an interesting question from the chat room. It's from Gina. And she had a question for Stan. And Stan, her question was, how have your animals reacted to the phenomena that you've been experiencing in the house?
Well, if you see the newest pictures that were actually taken with Yari's camera of the shadow people or the shadow thing, they're playing with this entity. One of the pictures also has this thing holding my remote, and when I went out, I heard humming in my family room, and I saw my remote floating in midair, and I got my camera, took a picture of it, and it picked up the shadowy part. But, yeah, they know what's going on. In fact, I have two cats. I remember somebody asked that question in the chat room. I have two cats, and they are definitely aware of things, and they're usually the ones that tell me something's going on before it actually happens. They can sense it, I think, more so than I can, and they'll start hissing and freaking out before something happens.
And just a reminder, those pictures are on paranexus.org for members to view.
And you can see the first shadow, you can actually go to stanromanek.com and go under What's New, and I have that posted there, the first couple pictures that Yari and Doug have. The cat was on the third step down, hissing towards the bathroom. And I looked up. I was actually loading the dishwasher. I looked up, and I see the shimmer, like the heat coming off the pavement in the summertime. And I'm kind of rubbing my eyes, going, what in the world? And it just stayed there. It looked like it was moving around. So I ran in, got the camera, took a picture. And it seemed to react to the flash, or I wasn't even a flash, maybe the click of the camera. And I watched the shimmer go into the bathroom, and I took another picture really quick. And that's the image you'll see if you go on the stanromanek.com, What's New.
Yeah. And what I was going to point out before is that a lot of folks don't realize the stress that's involved in what you've been going through. You know, folks, regardless of whether it's some government thing or whether it's real or whatever, the net result is the stress.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I want to point out, too, Doug, is on those photographs, is the fact that we had a lot of people looking at those with forensic tools, and none of us could say that these had been tampered with.
Right.
And the fact that we left Stan another camera, and the last couple of three photographs we got were with that camera that we left him. So it was not an anomaly of his camera that did it.
I agree. And, you know, one of the big questions that Yari and I have, at least, and perhaps others, is, Stan, when you saw these entities, you saw that shimmering glass-like image, kind of like Predator, the movie Predator, or heat waves off the hot
exactly.
Field, right? But when you took the picture saw those entities as shadows. That, I still can't explain. That's blowing my mind. Why didn't the camera not pick up the same thing your eyes were seeing? And
another interesting part about that, Doug, too, is the fact that the room is well lit, but yet it looks dark, so light is not bouncing back to the camera.
Yeah, could be. I mean, the room was, because it was daytime when these pictures were taken. It wasn't a night. And at least the first two pictures you took with the entity up at the staircase, the flash didn't fire. And it was still bright enough.
Well, what gets me is the fact that their shadows, especially the one where it's playing with the cats, and you could see the cats looking at it and, you know, going towards it and stuff. And there's a shadow from, you know, the light that's on the other side of the fireplace that's on, and you can see the shadow of the thing. It's
It's on the wall. The shadow is casting a shadow, as you already earlier mentioned, too. So some amazing events, and I will tell you this, too. I feel honored to have been able to go and investigate there. It's kind of an ongoing investigation, too, and one of the things that we're really trying to maintain, and we are, is an objective approach. Just because something happens, we don't automatically think it's an ET or a spirit or whatever. But, you know, some of these things that have happened are, you know, we can't explain what caused them, but we know they happened. They were there, or we were there, rather, and they happened. The TV turning on by itself. I mean, how many times have you experienced the television and the cable box turning on by themselves, you know, several times? I mean, in all my years, I've never had that happen. Could it have been caused by something natural? Sure. But the probability of it happening is just not there. The water faucet turning on, I mean, how many times have we had that happen? I've never had the water faucet turn on in 50 years, you know, in multiple houses. So, you know, the real thing that I wanted to point out, Saturday for me was an existential experience. It was. I mean, there were some other things that occurred that I'd mentioned earlier that we can't go into, but the whole day was an existential experience for me because I'd never seen a UFO before, always wanted to, just never did. And here we got, I think, seven of them flying by. We all kind of had, it was so fast. I mean, I only saw it for 2-3 seconds. Hard to count, but 6 to 7 of them flying by in a staggered V formation, silently, gracefully, surreally. Is that a word?
Really? Sure. It is now.
It is now, yeah. That's right, yeah. That's what I'm talking about there. So anyway, what do you think, Yari?
Well, you know, Kristen has a comment on that.
Well, I would just like to say that I've been stargazing my entire life. I have had many paranormal experiences throughout my life with respect to Earth, ground, human spirits. I never believed in UFOs. I believed in the possibility of UFOs. But I've been pretty skeptical my entire life and very dismissive of it because I've never seen anything that would indicate to me that there's any credence to it. That is, until I spent $5 the Sunday prior to the investigation with Van Romnick. Now I believe that it's very, very likely and very, very plausible.
Amen. I mean, and I want to point out this, that Stan has honored us also with showing us a lot of his evidence, you know, the Peeping Tom videos, it's called. We've seen it in its entirety, the real thing, and very compelling, and plus, you know, a whole bunch. That's the thing that blows our mind, the sheer volume of evidence that is not all of it's available, but the sheer volume of it. And when you broaden out, when you step back and look at the big picture, I mean, you can't help but know that something's going on here. You know, something's going on.
It's absolutely mind-boggling.
Yeah, it is. And so for those people who, you know, want to cry the, you're only in it for the money thing, you know, that's such a lame, shallow excuse. You know, maybe for some people that's what they do it for, but, you know, I just don't see that. I just don't see it. And there's just so much. And, you know, you could say, yeah, if you get one, like Stan, you had said this earlier, if you get one little piece of evidence, yeah, it's easy. I mean, if the Peeping Tom video was all you had to show, okay, yeah, okay, maybe it could have been fabricated. But that's not it. I mean, there's a ton. And I'm sure it's more that you didn't even show us, Stan.
Oh, yeah.
The fabrication we saw on the
Oh, yeah, that was funny, the fabricated Larry King thing that guy tried to do. There is an amazing amount of evidence, and it just, you know, sitting here listening to you guys, I still have to wonder, really, what is the objective of whatever these entities, these things are? Why, other than to make a statement, why are they now just only doing stuff when there's a lot of people around? I mean, that's the really the way it is. Good example, I had a talk in Denver just a few months ago. There were probably over 300 people there. And it's my presentations are usually about 4 hours, and I give everybody a 10-minute break in the halftime. And there were UFOs flying right above the conference hall that I was speaking in during halftime. Everybody saw it. Well, not everybody, but everybody that was outside. So who knows why, you know? And I've got another presentation coming up in Colorado Springs, June 28th, and we're expecting something to happen there too. It seems to always does, you know. It always something happens.
Yeah, well, it happened when we were there, and I was shocked because I don't get stuff happening. We go and do a haunting investigation. Grant, how many times have we actually had something happen?
Very, very rarely, Doug.
And I'm trying to just remember a time that something of that degree even happened while we were there. You know, we hear the stories, we hear all this stuff.
I can't remember any time that we particularly had our socks knocked off by what we thought was paranormally significant.
No.
You know, it's interesting because I remember you saying that to me. It was almost like you were, no offense, you were whining a little bit. Nothing ever happened.
I wasn't whining. Stop saying that. It was not.
That's like, okay, well, just hang out for a bit. And remember we talked about that before all the stuff started happening? And sure enough, it happened.
Be careful what you wish for, Doug.
Exactly.
Okay, then I'm going to wish for more of it.
Yeah.
Any time, I'd like to make an open invitation to any spirits, any extraterrestrials, I'm here. I'd love to talk. Call me.
I'm ready for a ride anytime.
Until your remotes start to disappear and you can't understand why. Until your camera disappears and it comes back with these really bizarre pictures.
There's a question.
I drew a line in the sand that stands last Saturday. I'm happy to communicate. I'm happy to interact. Insofar as I'm in Stan's house, but you are not welcome in mine.
I would love them to come to mine because then I wouldn't have to go out for an investigation. I could just do it right here in the comfort of my own home.
There you go. I'll send them your way.
I thought it over, and I don't want to live that 24/7, 365 because I see what a small piece of what Stanley Sir have been through, and I don't want that to be me and my family.
Well, that's cool. But I'm in the mood for it. We do have a question in the chat room. Is there an increase in activity when someone gets a video or a picture?
No. It used to be, it's changed. It's changed because, and I'll tell you a little later why I think they're doing what they're doing, but it only happens when there's people around. They want to make a statement. I honestly believe this is extraterrestrial. I don't think what I'm experiencing is, you know, like ghost-related, although when you're an abductee, when you're an experiencer, a lot of experiencers, true experiencers, have something happen called high strangeness. It's some kind of change in energy. Nobody really knows. They start having all these really bizarre paranormal events start to happen. And that's the same with me. But now it's to the point where they just want to make sure everybody sees it. So when I go out and tell my story, there's all these hundreds and thousands of people to back it up. And there's a reason for it. I honestly believe that they're getting us ready to accept what we might not understand. So maybe contact can be made, and I think we're at a pivotal point in our history, in the history of mankind, in our development, in our what's the word I'm looking for?
Evolution.
Evolution, exactly. And I think we're right at that point where we get to find out we have neighbors. And I think that is absolutely the most amazingly wonderful thing there is. I think to find out that we have possibly, hopefully, friends out there that can help us get through this muck. And I mean, I honestly, we've got the inmates running the sanitarium right now, the people that are running the country, the people that are running the world. Just, you know, we need to clean the slate and start over and fix the illnesses of this world and fix the hate and fix all the issues with destroying the, you know, destroying nature. That's all part of it. And I think they can see that we're at a dangerous level right now, but they can't help unless we let them.
All right, we've got a call, Stan, from what looks like your other line.
Okay.
So, all right. Hi, caller. This is Doug. What's your first name?
It's me, Doug. Lisa.
I think this much, but I wanted to give you the benefit of the doubt. Hey, Lisa. It's Stan.
Hey.
Better Hat. Welcome to Paranexus Universe.
Thank you. My question is, how do you make this talk thingy work? thing. I know, I'm nuts. I've been trying.
In the chat room?
Yes.
Okay, so Lisa, just make sure I understand this correctly. You called in the radio program to ask how you use the chat room, right?
Yes.
You know, it's any other person.
Oh, God, I love that woman. She's crushing the heck
out. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Well, I wanted to just the info. You don't have to put me on the air to tell me.
Oh, well, gee, it's too late. Lisa, since you're on, hey, I hear somebody say hi, Lisa. It's Heidi. They're in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear it, actually. I read it. So what do you think about the events that occurred last weekend?
Very interesting. Very, very. I'm glad that someone else was here and actually saw what was going on here. Pretty excited,
well,
that you guys got to see UFOs and watch the faucet turn on. So.
Yep. Well, cool. You know, I just want to tell everybody that Stan and Lisa were amazing hosts, very hospitable, very kind. And Lisa, I'm sorry I never got a chance to use that heating pad on my back. But thank you. You're a sweetheart.
We got it waiting for you when you come back. And, you know, the way we work is you guys are considered family now.
Oh, wow.
And that's how it is.
Can I get a
you know, one thing that I want to say, Stan, is the fact that I have to, you know, give you guys a lot of credit for everything that you've gone through. When we saw the amount of evidence you've gathered over the years, you know, a lot of the person would have been tied up in a straitjacket and put in the padded room.
Well,
yeah.
You know, we deal with it. You know, I think if anybody was forced to deal with it, they'd find their own way to deal with it. There were times that I honestly hoped I was going nuts because it would be easier to handle than, because I was a major skeptic. For me, it was hard. It took me probably a good 3-4 years before I came to terms with it. And if it, honestly, if it wasn't for my wonderful wife, Lisa, she's kept me majorly grounded. We make fun of it. We joke around. We have fun with it because that's the best way we know how to deal with it. And let me tell you, it gets really stressful, you know, and it's scary. There are nights that I don't sleep because I'm wondering if I'm going to wake up somewhere else or if, you know, somebody's going to break into the house or, you know, when's the next time we're going to see something hiding in the bushes, some little guy with big eyes hiding in the bushes, you know, and it is stressful, but you don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. You either deal with it or you go crazy. And you know that saying, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger? I think that's true in this case.
Well, apparently it is because, I mean, I can only imagine some of the things. So you've been on a number of TV programs and things and this past week, and been a lot of activity. You know, one of the things that we should elaborate on is something we mentioned in the first hour, and that was Sunday morning. Now, folks, we were there all evening, all night, Saturday night. That's when we saw the UFOs and stuff like that. The next morning, we're sitting out in the backyard. It's a beautiful morning. We were talking, and Lisa, you heard the door, right?
Yes, yes.
Like the door closed. You had a good ear, too. And so you said to Stan...
Coming and going so much, it's good to keep track of who's in and who's out, but it wasn't the kids.
Right. And so she asked Stan to go check it out. Stan goes in, and what did you see, Stan?
Well, I walked in because, you know, Lisa said, did somebody open the door? And I think you heard it, too. And I walked in, and there was a strange man standing in my living room looking at all the equipment you guys had set up. And as soon as I walked in, he went running out the front door into his vehicle that was actually parked right next to Rick's car on the wrong side of the road. It looked like it was running, too, which is weird. And he also looked like the same people that I was beat up by. Not the same people, but the same type of people that I was beat up by when I lived in Colorado Springs and told to keep my mouth shut about this stuff.
All
yeah.
I have to say is he's either very brave or very stupid with six people in the backyard to come in the house.
I know. That blows me away. But, you know, so was this all made up by Stan? Well, if it was, you know, Stan's in a world of heat because what'd you do next?
Well, we called the cops.
Yeah. And they came and they took a report, and you just don't do that stuff. You know, filing a false report is crime.
And how could I have made up opening and closing the door? I was with you guys.
No, I couldn't. So, amazing things. Lisa, you're welcome to stay on with us for the rest of the program if you wish. It's up to you entirely. So, just want to let you out if you wanted an out.
One thing I'd like to point out, Greg, if I may, is that we are going to be posting a lot of the things that we find with Stan's, permission.
Yes.
There are some things that we're not posting, only because it's not pertinent that everybody see this yet. However, we're going to be keeping this information running on the Paranexus for our members to comment and to help them analyze some of the data. We've sent Stan an initial letter, with our preliminary findings, and we still have tons of data to go through, and hours and hours of video, and hours of audio. And hopefully we'll be able to find some more answers. Not that we have found any, but we have found a lot of compelling information.
Questions. Gotten a lot of questions.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, cool. So, Grant, how does this all strike you? I mean, you've been listening, and you've been taking in some of the stuff. I know we've talked on the phone while I was out there.
Mm-hmm.
Make all this.
Yeah, I find Stan's, I regret that I didn't have the opportunity to go out there and meet Stan and his wife personally and his family. It sounds very fascinating to me. I'm really interested in the videos, not the videos, excuse me, in the quality of that AVP that you guys captured, and the mechanical nature of it really intrigues me.
Yeah, it's hard to know what the heck that was all about. So, Stan and Lisa, where's this going to go? Where do you see this whole episode in your life heading?
Well, I hope that whatever this is, it's part of the process to get us ready for whatever enlightenment we need, because that's how I look at it. I would like to think that there is a purpose for all this madness and that we're not just, some experiment in a petri dish. That has crossed my mind, too. There's going to be, as you know, we're working on documentary. Stuff takes time when you're, when the people that are doing it are funding it themselves. There's also going to be a book that, if people are interested, tells the whole story from beginning to at least when I finish the book, because more stuff happens constantly. I'd have a book about the size of the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Mm-hmm.
But You know, we hope that, you know, we can get people's attention and start talking about this, and not just the people who already believe, but the skeptics and everybody to start realizing that, hey, there's something going on here. I mean, the Vatican just, what, about 2 weeks ago came out and said, oh, yeah, ETs are real and blah, 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 and you can go check it out on the website, actually, if you want to. And, you know, that's, and I think that once it's all out, I think they're going to leave me alone. And that's the goal. Don't you think, Lisa?
Yeah. Actually, I think it's just the second chapter in the next book. It's not over by any means. It's not the beginning. It's not the middle. It's not the end. It's like everything just
continues. Well, like I told you while we were there. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Yari.
Well, when Stan and I were talking, and, you know, we were talking, discussing, you know, why there's so many naysayers and why he's got, you know, he's got supporters and there's the naysayers. And the comment that I heard Jerry Lewis on one of his telethons today that I really like was that for those who believe, no explanation is necessary. And for those that don't believe, no explanation will be sufficient. So we need to find the happy medium, and the people on the fence get the word out that this is actually and really truly happening. We may not have the conclusive evidence that these are ETs, but we have very compelling evidence from what we witnessed in 3 days, two nights.
Mm-hmm. It's compelling, to say the least. So speaking of Stan's website, if you'd like to get more information, including some amazing equations that he came up with, that was during regression, right?
You know, part of the abduction experience, for me anyhow, now, my first abduction experience, I want to kind of set the record straight here. A lot of, and it just bugs the heck out of me, when you watch these TV programs and these scientists come on, oh, it's sleep paralysis and you're having these lucid dreams. Well, guess what? I wasn't asleep when my first abduction experience happened. I was fully awake and I remembered everything. My brain just couldn't handle it. I freaked out and tried to make it out to be a dream. But part of the abduction experience is, for some reason, I had these symbols stuck in my head. I couldn't get them out. And then when I went under regression, I started writing all these symbols, and I was flabbergasted to find out that they actually meant something, and they were complex equations. Now, I've actually done it under regression 3 times. I've done it in my sleep with people watching me. My eyes are closed, and I'm scribbling all this stuff. One of them, you know, there's a few of the equations that are already known, but there's quite a bit of them that's brand new stuff, and one of them I actually wrote backwards. You have to look in the mirror to see what it says. Now, for people that don't know me, I'm severely dyslexic. In fact, Doug and Yari have to help with the website because there's a bunch of misspelled words on there all the time, and I actually have a 4th or 5th grade math level. It might not be from the dyslexia. It might be from the fact that, you know, when I was younger, they thought I was stupid and kept me in with the special kids. But, you know, I can't do math. How or why they put this in my head, I really don't have a clue, but it's there. I mean, it's on camera. I've got lots of videos of them watching me write this stuff.
And if you want to look at those equations, just go to stanromanek.com. There is a link on Paranexus if you look for the radio program information for tonight. Stan's website's there, and you can also access his forum from that page. So take a look at stanromanek.com, and you can see a lot of stuff there, from pretty compelling stuff, too. So there was some other question I had, Stan. I'm drawing a loss. Yari, Grant, Kristen, if you guys have any questions, feel free while I get my brain back in order.
I have more questions, but I could fill another 10 hours, Doug.
You only need to fill about 5 minutes, Yari.
I have a quick question.
Go for it.
Aaron, you said it's been quiet this week since we've been back?
It has. It's been quiet. It, like I said, you know, earlier, stuff doesn't happen unless people are around. You know, and now it's gotten to the point where if it's the same people come back, they don't need to impress them. They like new people. No, our friends come up, though, it's like, okay, you're boring. We're not going to play with you anymore.
We'll have to break that. That'll be some fresh meat.
Yeah, so like you guys coming back, I'm sure they'll want to play again. You guys aren't, you know, old enough, you know, been here enough. They'll still want to see how you guys react, I think.
Well, cool.
Well, thank you, Stan, for actually bringing us into your home and also allowing us to examine those photographs when you caught them. And, you know, you and I have known each other for a while, and I was invited by Rick to one of your other investigations.
Sure.
And we chatted a lot. For you to really, you know, get to know who we were and how we operated and finally invite us in, I really thank you for your confidence.
Well, to be honest, I think it was the best thing we could have done. You guys were very professional. All the little tests I had for you. And I really, honestly, I won't have anybody else do this. You guys are it for me. I've had so many people come in and go, and they were all kind of hokey and all kind of, but you guys were serious about it, and you guys, you know, want to make sure that you stay objective, and that's the important thing here, and that's the important thing about this case. I mean, we've got some of the top scientists, a bunch of really big universities involved in this case, and it has to be about the science. It has to be about the investigation for anybody to take it serious, because if you get, you know, and that's why we don't go with the UFO crowd, because they already believe, and if the UFO crowd comes out and says, oh, this happened, you know, the public's not going to take them serious. You got to have the real researchers and the real scientists involved for anybody to say, well, maybe there is something to this. And that's what you guys did, and I appreciate it.
And you say you had some little tests there?
Well, just a little bit. You know, I was kind of feeling you out when you guys were first here. It's like, okay, well, you know, are they going to be hokey about this? That's a real big one for me. And the fact that you guys asked me those questions straight to my face was just, oh, that was beautiful. I really appreciated that.
Anytime. And no
problem. Okay, Sam, you're ugly.
Well, I wasn't going to say that.
Yeah, I know. I'm just teasing.
Well, how many other girls think you're sexy, though?
Okay. Yeah, I heard about that story. Lisa laughed at that story, by the way, Yari.
Well, cool. Well, listen, you guys hang with us for a minute. We've been talking with Stan Romanek and Lisa Romanek. She's joined us. And it was nice to talk to you again, Lisa. Glad you called, even if it was for a technical question. I'm sorry I couldn't answer it. But we've had Yari and Kristen with us in the Shadows Paranormal Project, and we jointly did the investigation with Stan and Lisa's home as really as a Paranexus sanctioned investigation, and we found some amazing stuff. I'm going to post the AVP, the anomalous voice phenomena, on Paranexus for members. The photos are already there. In fact, we've created a forum inside Paranexus for this case so we can post a few things that we come across. And one of the things I also want to post that we mentioned earlier is the video that we took when the faucet turned on. Now, you can't see the actual faucet turning on, but you'll see that I was sitting there and talking, and Stanley's son walking by, going out, coming back in. Me hearing something. There was nobody at the sink, nobody at all. And it was amazing when the faucet turned on. So I'll post that video and whatever, some other things that we may have. But we'd love to hear your objective feedback on the pictures, on some of these events. We're not interested in naysayers. We're not interested in total true believers. We're just interested in objective feedback, because that's what Paranexus is all about, is being objective, being scientific about it, and looking at the big picture of everything. So if you haven't joined Paranexus, go do it. It's only $5. It's charter memberships, and you have access to everything in there, and we're trying to grow that. We're trying to build it, trying to add compelling and interesting stuff. We're not interested in orb pictures. Of course, you know, I did see some actual orbs when Stan showed me some of his evidence, and they were nothing like the orbs that we see all plastered all over the net. Nothing like those. True orbs. Amazing stuff. So do that, and don't forget the conference this October. We've got some great rates. We were able to reduce the rates because of some negotiations, and so the rates are even better. We're going to have 3 days of great stuff, great speakers, good fun, networking, and just more information on this. So we appreciate everybody listening. Grant, you had an easy night tonight, didn't you, dude?
Hey, it was fun monitoring the chat room, and I like talking to everybody there. So, and you guys were the actual people out there that witnessed it firsthand. So I want to thank everybody tonight in chat for asking so many great questions, and we always appreciate our folks that follow us in chat, and we all want y'all to come back every week.
And Stan and Lisa, we really appreciate your time and your information and for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for having us. And honestly, I just want to say, you know, if anybody has any kind of paranormal stuff happening to them, invite these guys to come out and investigate. I mean, they'll do it right. They aren't going to mess around. They're going to be serious about it. They aren't going to be hokey. And they'll tell you exactly what they think's going on, which is awesome. That's the way it should be.
Thanks, Stan. I'll pay you later.
Hey, you don't need to. It's the truth.
Hey, and Lisa, you know, you're just a sweetheart and a great host, and really appreciate your kindness, too. And thanks for calling.
Stan, if you want to come back and update us, you're always welcome.
Oh, sure.
We'd love to have you.
Yeah, no problem. I'll let you know if and when anything happens.
All right. Down to the last few seconds, Lisa, thank you. You still with us, Lisa?
I'm still here.
Okay. Thanks so much, sweetheart. And Yari, Kristen, thanks so much for joining us, taking time.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah, and next week we've got BJ Booth, right, Grant?
Yeah, UFO casebook.
Yeah.
Who's compiled a lot of interesting information and some really, really cool cases on UFOs.
And that's it for us, folks. Again, join us next week. Have a good night.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.